Folks, before we begin public comment, and I am going to extend it for about 3 or 4 minutes since we're starting a few moments late. The first item under the KPFT Code of Conduct is to treat other people like you would like to be treated yourself. And number two is verbal and physical attacks are not tolerated on Pacifica and KPFT property and at KPFT events. And discussions will be centered on issues, not people. So with those are three of the eight that I think they're most pertinent. And I would urge you to try to live to both the spirit and the letter of this code of conduct. And Deb Shafto is also asked to speak.
I just wanted to remind people of that. I'm glad you brought it up. But I think that if one of the things that has set this whole board on edge is the attacks from people coming in who also do not carry decorum, and I would plead with all of us to get back to dealing with each other like they're real human beings here, and that I had to listen to three of these meetings to do the minutes, and after 4 or 5 hours of listening to the comments back and forth, I was so sick I could not continue. We need to do better. If we can't do better here, then what do we expect from the world?
We have 11 people signed up to speak. That means 3 minutes per person. Hopefully you will not take that long. The first speaker is Joseph Davis, followed by Joseph Kay, and I would like you to position yourself in a spot where everyone can see you.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. As I recall that list, it only had one person on it when the second person signed, unless you're going in vertically. And that was Lisa, who was here first. And I signed secondly, and all the others should follow.
So there may be another list.
This is the first page. I put my name on it. There's.
We'll proceed. Yeah, I just wanted it on the record that Lisa now was first, but just go right
now.
All right. What I have to say is the truth matters. People of integrity believe in the truth. Liars are going to say whatever the hell they want to say, and they want to hide the things they don't want to hear. So, how I really want to address is, for the August 9th, I was the secretary here. I did the minutes. And you know something? I have not received one correction. They were sent to every board member. There's not been one correction. These are accurate minutes. But the one thing that's in these minutes that is now being tried to erase was the public comment. Whenever I do minutes, and the people that like you who come down here and have something to say, I do my best to put that on the record because you matter. And the minutes that have been changed are about you not mattering. Thank you.
Joseph Kay, followed by Lisa Blaylock. Joseph Kay, followed by Lisa Blaylock.
Hello, everybody. I'm Joseph Kay. I did serve on the board of 2 terms, and I come because of my concern for the station. I love the station. But what I've noticed from the last meeting was some patterns in people's behavior who are on the board that are very disturbing. It's the entrenched entitlist who thinks they have the right to interrupt and dominate and talk endlessly. And that's just terrible. They just totally ignore the rules. And then there was he wasn't on the board, he was a visitor, and probably all of you may know, he got up and lectured and wouldn't shut up, and he was very aggressive. So this is the kind of behavior that disturbs this organization. Lack of self-control and discipline is your big problem. And those who don't have it should know that they're being watched and should be notified. And I would suggest that the board adopt a rule that people who, A, violate the rules, the Roberts rules and the other usual rules of running a meeting, be given a warning, such as the person who stands up and lectures and gets aggressive with others and interrupts and just ignores the board's director, who's the chair of the board, right? They're supposed to be monitoring and managing. They ignore those. They should be given a warning, number one. They don't shut up, they should be removed from the room. And number three, if they come back and create another mess, they should be given a fine. How about a $50 fine for every time you violate the rules after having a record of being a rule breaker and a disruptor? And finally, if that doesn't help, just get them off the boards. There must be some impeachment process. Now, that's not about being unkind, but it's about holding people accountable. And the people who do this thing are irresponsible. They have to be held to account. And if they can't manage themselves, they better should take the anger management course or something. Because you need help. You're out of control. You're disrupting. You're disturbing. You're not adding. You're reducing the effectiveness of this board by your tone. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Joseph. Lisa Blaylock, followed by Dwayne Lark.
Hi, I'm Lisa Blaylock, and I've been listening to KPFT since I was a little girl, and I've been volunteering for 5 years at the station, a show called Night Sound, one of the best shows ever. And I have autism, and Larry Winters, he called me, and he said, you're going to take away your hours, and he thought he hung up the phone, and he didn't even call me a fucking nut. And he said, doesn't she have Asperger's syndrome? And I recorded that, and I played it on the air. So I lost my show. And last time I was up here, Rhonda, she came outside after the board meeting and came on my face like this close and told me the meeting's over and called me stupid, said fuck you, said that I lost, but I'm not going to repeat the things that, excuse my language, because I meant to come here and not say any bad words because I know we have young people in here and I'm sorry. But you know, that is what happened. And I'm tired of that happening. And I do have autism. And last board meeting I went to the Shape Center, Rhonda, you said that, you know, I don't act like I have autism.
She's supposed to be addressing
you. There is a new rule. I am addressing everyone. But I am addressing you too.
But you're not supposed to be talking at all.
So, because it is my turn, right?
That's right.
Okay, I don't want to lose my time. You know, Rhonda, I do have autism. There's a new show coming out called The Good Doctor. And he has autism too. It's about a guy who has autism and he has savant disorder. Okay? So who are you to say that I don't act like I have autism? Because you know what? I might have savant like skills myself. And that's pretty cool. And other people that are in here that have that too, they have that too. So I wouldn't say that I'm the stupid one or say fuck you to me or any of those words to me. And that needs to stop. Really, Mom. I don't always agree with my mom, but that's one thing she told me, you don't say that word. So I don't say that much. And when you've been saying that to me and all that, I'm just like, I don't know what to say, because I wasn't raised that way. You know, and I think you got me confused.
I think a lot of y'all do. I know I'm very pale-skinned, but I'm half Mexican. In my show, I work with a lot of indigenous people. And y'all let me go? And y'all talk that bad about me? Y'all did all those things to me? Why? You don't think people are watching? People are watching. And those mean faces you make, that's not going to help. And you, Bill Crozier, you barely look at me every time I come up here and talk. You don't think I'm a real person? You think that I'm going to go away just by you not staring and do this? Like, it's happening. It's been happening. And there needs to come to a point where, you know what, we don't need to talk to each other this way. PK is right. PK is smart. She's not trying to hurt nobody. She's trying to do the right thing and say, we do need to have more respect to each other. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say.
Dwayne Lark, followed by Brendan O.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take this moment to say, I always like to acknowledge those who've made sacrifices in our midst, because we haven't made as much sacrifice. And this man, being a former city councilman, former vice mayor, give him some props, Mr. Judah Andoni, for being here. Thank you. A radio man, KPFT radio man. And I would be very remiss if I didn't acknowledge the queen Because you see, the king used to sit here among you, and he saw your dysfunction, and he just said, okay, the grandchildren here, so I won't tell you what he said. But, Miss King, Lealia King, raise your hand so they'll know that not only his spirit is here, but his wife is here. That daughter here that has traveled the world and taught the world from three different continents, stand away, raise your hand. And you see those two great children she's made. One of those young, that young man is with Baylor. What's the name of that school?
Winona Heights.
Oh, you're the winner. Oh, he's moving too fast for me to keep up with. But the brilliance that his granddaddy and his grandmama imputed in him is just coming on through. And they sing here today the dysfunction of all hues. Don't matter what color you are, but Mr. Crozier, gotta spend the rest of my time with you. You know I love you like a brother. But this racism that you're showing, it really displays how I've been told liberals, white liberals, love to tell black folk what's best for them. Now you took a doctorate, a tame doctorate, who had 20 years of radio experience and put a buffoon in his place, a white buffoon in fact, who has, you got him on tape? If you got any kind of decency at all, you'll remove that buffoon, because I heard him Saturday saying things that it tell you what kind of hicker group they've created over here. In terms of the radio, it's not reflective of 65% Hispanic and African American in the market. I'm not saying white music ain't good. I'm saying keep that. But you got to add, Mr. Crozier, you got rid of five black people and replaced them with white people. If that ain't racism, if y'all not acting like Trump and Deborah, you were one of them same ones that was hollering and carrying on. We was trying to get rid of Dwayne. So it's kind of like the skillet can't call the kettle black. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that we can come here and talk to y'all as much as we want to. But if you really want to make a change, Mr. Crozier, the National Board cannot insulate you from making an illegal decision. The only thing they can do is when this man takes you to the California court, get awarded one of these stations, because you didn't follow procedures.
10 seconds.
Now reinstate the man, get this racism off your back, because if you're really racist, you're going to hold on like racists do, and you're going to dig in. But if you realize that what you can do is, I told you this is shape. You can undo this, put the man back in so all us can be a family again. Otherwise, I guarantee you, he's gonna sue enough, he's gonna get one of them signals.
Brendan D. followed by Bernie Williams.
Yeah, you can get one. I won't do your life for
Brendan D.
Brendan
D.
Everyone. So I can see that people here wants to move on working on the budget and everything. I've seen installations and I think it's old, and when I hear the radio station setup sounds bad and I don't like it. But I think in order to move forward to that situation, I think you guys really need to make sure who is on board with whatever you guys are going to invest on, because this radio station supposedly, since it's public, should defend the people, should defend what is the right thing, should defend the humanistic part of all of us. And something that actually right now they're thinking about making racism a mental illness. And if there's people with mental illness, they shouldn't be working here. Now, that racism is also attached to the culture of power. Culture of power, I can see a reflection of culture of power with when these ladies yelling at people that are trying to defend this narrative that unites people. And I really believe that this lady needs to go and then work on the budget, and that's all I have to say.
Bernadine Williams, then Judon Boni.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for Bill Crozier to go. I don't want us to forget why we are here and his racist practices in KPFT and within the Pacifica Foundation itself. I am ready for this Nazi over here, Robert Mark, to disappear. And this trial business, I hope that there is some true progress being made here tonight. I'm glad I haven't seen any Heil Hitler salutes in subsequent meetings. I'm not sure if you finished setting the agenda or not, but I would suggest that this board consider having an agenda setting meeting like certain other organizations do. That would be very beneficial, and then when you get to the meeting, you already have a set agenda to proceed from, which would greatly enhance the quality of your work, and I think the feedback that you're getting back from the members of KPFT as well. People who cannot control themselves should not be in a position of responsibility of being on the board. Someone like Rhonda, who cannot bear to hear other people speak, hear them out, hear their comments without constantly interrupting, needs to be removed. It's really unfortunate that someone like her has to hold back each meeting that you're having here. The level of respect in this board needs to go up, including the amount of respect for the members of KPFT. And I would also suggest no more three-page agendas. Please set a reasonable agenda that you can have a reasonable expectation and the fellow board members have a reasonable expectation of actually getting through in a meeting. Thank you.
Judon Bromney, followed by Nancy Saibara Naratomi.
I didn't really want to come to this meeting. I didn't want to speak. I share some of the same frustrations as you do. I came because I still see, faintly, an opportunity to save KPFT. That's really the bottom line. I've run a $3 million nonprofit organization, the Houston International Festival. We went through board development and board training and board relations. Clearly, this board relations are shot. The board is almost equally split between one group and another, and that's all right. That's happening in public institutions all across America right now. But you have to be able to build and fight for consensus and still preserve the humanity of even the people that you disagree with. Some of you may not have been in enough of this kind of thing as I have. No, it's not can't control themselves. Some people are manipulating the meeting by interrupting when they want their point of view or their position to win. It's a tactic. It's a meeting tactic. And when the chair does not discipline and control the meeting consistently, the group can't even help because they don't know which way the leadership is going to go. These are manageable issues and problems. But if you got to work on them. You probably need to get and pay somebody to give you some help with that, because this is going to be a heck of a job to save this board and save this station. Let me speak to your money question. You had enough good program where you could have syndicated it, and with the sponsorship rule that you passed and your other fundraising drives and grant writing, you could raise over $200,000 in less than a year's time. It's not even that hard. But because you have divided the station so much, and you are the board, so I guess I have to say the leadership of the station has divided the station because they haven't exercised some sophisticated leadership and tried to break down some of these walls and get it back on the station and its original mission. I can tell you this. If you stay in this room from now till 10 years from now, if you don't have a united board, a united station, you can't raise a dime. So they go together. And there's no need to sell KPFT to help out Pacifica.
that same framework will work for national. And at a time when our country is so divided with these political issues and challenges, we need a progressive radio station now more than ever before.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Nancy Savano Tony, then George Ryder.
Okay. About a week and a half ago, there was an appraiser at the station. He told one of our staff the property is worth around $2 to $4 million. Wide thing. I would like to say, before we sell our property, before we get an appraiser and do these things like selling, don't we want a place to move to? This is really panicky for our programmers, our staff, and morale. And then the fact that the PNB secretary, oops, let it out of the bag and told me they were planning to make WPFW a repeater. That means they lose all their program. They just become a stick, you know, repeating, I don't know, California signaling. That caused a lot of worry. And I think maybe these backroom discussions that get leaked, I mean, Mr. Tanaka, he just wanted to know if I was born in Japan or not. That's why he called me. But anyway, let it out of the bag. Anyway, so before we move, Bill Crozier, before we sell our property and before we go on that, we got to have a place to move to. And the other thing is, the secretary of this board needs to be replaced. Y'all, it's long overdue. She has missed 6 meetings and attended January, what, April, and then September, October, 4 meetings and missed 6. And she's behind in minutes, and sometimes people put too much on their plate. It doesn't mean that the person is a bad person and nothing like that. And so we all do that. Don Cook had too much on his plate. That's why he gave up his position on the board. But I think even this person has had a long history with KPFD. Deb Shafto should resign from the board, and she should be replaced for somebody else to be secretary. This is just not, it should not be tolerated, and it should not be, we should not want any of us to be spoiled. That's all.
George Ryder, followed by Nick Cooper.
So there's a process going on here where somebody says something and you don't like it, and your feelings come up, and so you say something. So you blurt something out. That process is going on in everybody who's in this room. There's another process going on, which is that we look for we look for the solutions to the problem in suppressing those other people, in throwing them out, in telling them how wrong they are, in telling them how untruthful they are. There is no solution in that. I think that should be clear. The only solution to the kind of dynamic that we see here is that we sit on our own emotions. When we get re-stimulated, when we get triggered, whatever you want to call it, take a few deep breaths. Sit there. It doesn't kill you to have somebody yelling out of control. The cost to this organization of trying to punish people for doing the wrong thing or the bad thing is enormous. And finally, you're not in charge of whether this station is sold. The whole thing belongs to the Pacific National Board, and you all need to understand your relationship to that. The idea that Bill's action was illegal is just not the case. He's the executive director of the PNB. He has a right to replace an IGM. Whether that was a good idea or not, you can weigh in on that. But it's not illegal. It's something that it was his job to do. You just voted not to hear from him on what the financial situation is in this meeting. How dysfunctional is that? And I'm doing just what I said I shouldn't do, which is to blame the people who voted against it for it. And my apologies for that.
Nick Cooper, followed by John.
I'm sorry, I don't really have anything prepared for today, but I just guess I'll speak off the top of my head. Last time I was here, I spoke a little bit about the culture of white supremacy, which I think is really important to consider, because a lot of us might not have any kind of racist tendency where we would say, you know what, I don't want this black person in this position. I would rather have a white person in that position. Maybe that's not a conscious thought in people's minds, but when you're part of an institution that makes those types of decisions, it becomes an institutional form of racism or white supremacy. So that, for example, I think a lot of racism is benefit of the doubt. So a cop might say, oh, well, this is just a white kid. He's just in the wrong neighborhood. I'll let him go. And then the same cop might say, oh, this is a black kid. He might be a criminal. I have to, you know, these types of, who do you give the benefit of the doubt? And what I saw in this station for decades was Dwayne Bradley kind of getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, we don't know exactly what he's doing, but we think he's doing his job. He's empowering people to have good shows. He's raising the money that needs to be made. He's going to his meetings. We give him the benefit of the doubt without necessarily knowing. And the people who were kind of looking into it were saying, you know, we've been letting him do this for a long time, and it's not really going that well. In fact, we're in a really desperate situation. And he was still kind of getting the benefit of the doubt. And then even after he got fired, he continued to get the benefit of the doubt. So I would have liked to have seen that same benefit of the doubt extended to Obadike for a much longer period of time. And that, to me, would be kind of countering white supremacy. Now, when I've had a bunch of people that I know, people of color, come up to me and say, you know, this kind of racist thing happened to KPFT. Maybe they don't really have to explain all the details to me, but some of them really went into detail. Some of them just said, well, this thing happened. And I started to feel like, okay, well, I think a racist thing, you know, probably happened to KPFT. I don't know all the details of it. I'm not an expert on the financials. But then what started happening was really weird, is a lot of white people started coming up to me and saying, well, Bill Crozier's not racist, so don't worry about it. When you're not racist, it doesn't mean you get to, no one worries about it. That means you're holding yourself up to a higher standard. So if I call myself an anti-racist, it means I have to sometimes get yelled at by people of color and told, stop talking so much or whatever. I got to kind of work through that stuff, because as an anti-racist, I'm putting myself up to a higher standard. It doesn't just mean I would be equally open to a white person and a black person working in this position or living in a property that I owned or something like that. It means I'm willing to kind of work through some of these institutional grievances that people have about institutions, and KPFT is an institution like that where, you know, it tends to...
5 seconds.
Fall into those patterns. And so I think being an anti-racist means I'm going to hold myself up to a higher standard of proving that I'm willing to go and listen to communities of color.
Ron, and then finally Judy Emerson.
I think it's pretty simple.
All of you have seen me at KPFT. If you have been there within the last 4 or 5 days, you have seen me from bell to bell. You have heard me on Democracy Now! In the morning, in the afternoon. You have heard me at 6 o'clock. I don't leave there sometimes until 7. Now, why do I do that? Am I stupid? I'm not getting paid for this shit. Am I crazy? No, I believe in KPFT. But the problem is, every time I see a board meeting, I go, I don't want to be in that room. Now, why don't I want to be in the room, but I want to be at KPFT every day? I have 4 shows on there. They're all on HD, and then I have one on FM. That's fine. I work my ass off. I don't get paid for radio. None of us do. I don't get paid for this. People don't get paid to listen. You chose to be a member. And when you chose to be a member of this board, you chose to have compromise. Your time is not being used to its utmost ability. I believe that is the case for every single person on the board. Now, I know you might say, I'm doing more than them. If that mentality first came up to your mind, then you are part of the problem. Number one thing is to do this for not only the listeners, but for KPFT. I do this for KPFT. I don't ask for handouts. You guys have never seen me cry. You never seen me complain. I don't. Ronnie, you know that. You have seen me. And you've yelled at me before, and I go, okay. Why? Because it doesn't affect me. Because I'm doing it for KPFT. Regardless of what Rhonda says or what Nancy says or what anybody says, I don't give a shit. All I care about is KPFT and making sure the damn doors stay open. This meeting was supposed to start off with talking about the agenda. It was supposed to be talking about money. But what do? We start talking about each other. We mean nothing in the grand scheme of things, especially when it comes to KPFT. If we want the doors to stay open, the radio to stay going, we need to stop infighting and actually get some stuff done. Have some compromise, because we are all not right all the time, regardless of how you think you are. And that's it. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Judy. Don, she needs to get through.
KPFT is radio for peace. Would that be true now? Anybody? No, Elmo. Okay, there's got this faction over here, we got that faction over there. We shoot a cannon over here, then we shoot a cannon over there. Peace comes from collaboration. There's Trump, there's North Korea. Okay, he shoots. How about a little negotiation? Get some talking going on. Even if you don't like that person or what they're trying to say, we got to figure out how to get this together. There's not only racial inequality, there's gender inequality. It's the good old boy club once again. And good old boy club just happens to be male and white. Almost always. Here we go again. What a drag. Actually, when I heard that Obadike was named the manager, I had hoped to be Obadike and PK together. I think somehow or other we need a woman up there. Even though Obadike is the super girl, and I really like her. Now, Larry Winters is okay, but he's just another white guy. Then we have to do something different. We have to be progressive. This is progressive radio. We are so retro. We are back in the 50s again. We all white. That's more.
I have consulted the standing and special rules and discovered that items for the agenda need to be provided to the chair 10 days prior to the meeting. That being the case, no additional agenda items are applicable at this time. I'm going to go to the secretary. What is the status of our minutes?
Mr. Chair, the body can always vote to change that. And I move to reconsider the motion to discuss financial matters. It's really critical and important.
We had a motion on the floor before we went to public comment. It was Adrian's motion. I'm going to rescind my motion if we can have a good faith effort to have a decent conversation with one another. If we can rise up to that. But if we can't, then it's going to have to be revisited.
Okay. I want
a second. I want a second. Thank you.
Yes.
What is your motion?
To reconsider the vote on allowing a time for discussion of Pacifica finances.
I second that.
Right, and it's supposed to be right after public comment.
Yes.
I second it. You made that motion originally, right?
Yes.
It's out of order for you to
I'll make a motion.
Okay, at what time do you wish that to occur?
Right now.
But I asked Bill a friendly motion, a friendly amendment that limited the 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We don't want to use this as a filibuster tactic, but we do need to talk about the finances.
Yes.
So you're making a motion to discuss it now? Okay, and
the heart of it in 5 minutes. Let's hear about it from the horse's mouth.
And how, you're saying 5 minutes?
Set a time.
Ten minutes. Yeah. Is there any objection to 10 minutes for a discussion, and will that be strictly Bill Crozier speaking, or?
Yeah.
Huh?
No.
What did you say, Jerry?
I'd like to have it just be Bill speaking in the report.
Okay.
We need some.
Okay, so we're talking about 10 minutes for Bill Crozier to report what's going on regarding Pacifica finances. Jim?
Would it be possible to move the cab up after that for a quick report?
We have an agenda with items on Roman numeral 8, and I'm going to rule your request dilatory. There's an effort to sabotage this agenda so we don't get to it tonight.
What are you talking about?
We are going
to
go. Okay. How many people are opposed to giving Bill Crozier 10 minutes to speak right now on the budget situation?
I'm not opposed. We can limit it?
10 minutes. Any objections? Seeing none, Bill, you have the floor for 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I hope all of you heard, as I sent an email to all the LSB, and it's been out publicly some. Last Wednesday, Court of New York ruled against Pacifica in a lawsuit brought by the Empire State Realty Trust and awarded judgment to Empire State Realty Trust for $1.8 million plus legal fees, which we don't know exactly the amount of. It's probably a few hundred thousand dollars. They also did not, they ruled against the unconscionability motion that Pacifica had made, which basically said that this was for the tower lease for the Empire State Building, where WBI's a transmitter and tower are in New York City. They ruled against the unconscionability motion where we said that it was the lease should be invalid because it was unconscionable because they took advantage of us after 9/11 when all the antennas were destroyed on the World Trade Center, and they had a virtual monopoly. And they also did not allow that the ruling against a request to reduce the future rent liability or lease liability, which is about $2 million in addition to that over the next 3 years, because the contract goes until June of 2020. So right now we're stuck with how to pay for that judgment and also how to pay for the next 3 years of that contract. The lease, because we haven't been able to pay anything on it for the last several months, and paying zero. Finances at WPFW have been really critical. They've been, that's our New York station, they haven't really been able to pay all the bills even while they're paying zero for that. And we're also facing, this is Pacifica, another problem. This is part of the whole financial mess that's developed over the last several years. We have about $1 million approximately in unfunded pension liabilities because none of the stations, none of them have paid anything into the employee pension fund for 4 years. Don't know exactly how much because FY17 just ended a few days ago or at the end of September, and we have our pension auditor working on that to figure out how much it is. There may be also some penalties because of like 4 months, or I mean 4 years worth of not paying that. Altogether, that's around $4.5 or $5 million we're going to come up with pretty soon. Now, we have other debt. We have approximately $5 million in additional debt also. So we have a total of about $8 million of debt plus the $2 million that we're going to owe to Empire State Building for the next 3 years. So that's the problem. And I'll try to be brief. I mean, I'd like to have some time for questions, but the National Board has been discussing this. The the National Finance Committee's discussed it some. Don't know exactly how it's going to work out. I'm working very hard to try to get some options for the National Board. Several people have made suggestions. I'm not at liberty to talk about the specifics yet, and I don't know some of the specifics yet because we're still getting more information for some of them. But the main thing to remember is that we're going to have to come up with probably at least $4.5 to $5 million soon, and then we've still got that other debt that also can't be ignored because we don't really have a plan for paying for that right now. So we're hoping to come up with a plan to pay off all the debt. I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee the PNB will decide on any one option. They're going to have to decide on some option really soon, because the Empire State Realty Trust could, as soon as they get the judgment in writing, it hasn't been available to writing yet, either us or them, but soon they'll be able to start collecting on that. So we don't think that will be before about the end of this month, but we have to come up with something before then. One possibility, I don't know if this will happen or not either, in short term, this is the only short term, is to get a loan for at least the amount of the judgment. I'm not sure I like that idea, but partly because we need the board, the national board needs to decide how they'll pay off the loan, because otherwise you're going to just default on the loan in a month or two. But the possibility is using a station building as collateral, one or more station buildings as collateral for a loan. And so that might not be so bad as long as we have a definite plan to pay it off, say, in a few months. Because we have the other things, too, besides just the immediate judgment that have to be paid. So, now most of what I want to tell you, because that's, I mean, all the stations seem to be knowing about this. If you have suggestions, please send them. We've been asking for many months for major donor campaigns to get going. You know, I've been working with a group in New York to try to get a group there going. We're beginning to, but, you know, it's hard. Most of the people on the board there, just as here, don't have connections with rich folks, shall we say, people with a lot of money. If you have any connections with somebody, please let me know or contact them yourself, because we could use some money, a lot of money in the very near future. How am I doing? I forgot exactly what time I started.
5 minutes.
But,
5 minutes.
You got 5 minutes.
So, okay. So, well, that's kind of been in a nutshell, but this is something that's been developing again for years, and I don't want to blame people. It doesn't do any good to blame people. The lease for this was signed in 2005. The person signed it died several years ago. Doesn't make any difference why we're in this situation, but we are in this situation. And my personal feeling is that, and I've been on the National Board before too, but the National Board and Pacific as a whole has failed to deal with us for several years, and we can't put it off any longer. That's basically where we are right now. So I just want you to be aware of this.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, take a look.
So it seems like both the local board and various national boards have gotten ourselves a fine mess. But
yes.
What are we going to do about it? Are the same people still trying to solve that problem that they've been trying to solve? I don't have any faith in the people that have been on the local board and national board. It's absolutely idiot to have faith in them being able to solve the problem. So we got a blue team?
Well, I mean, I share some of those same feelings. It's up to the national board to decide, and
that's what I'm talking about. Obviously, the national board can't decide. They would have done it before they were paying $1 million+ to occupy part of the Empire State Building.
There is the fear that they won't decide, and I'm not sure I can get them to decide. I hope that we can come up with a majority of the board to come up with some solution, any solution, really soon, in the next few weeks, this month. I've also been meeting with the managers of the stations regularly. I had a meeting again today. This is my conference call, and brainstorming with them. And I think the board should be listening to all the managers too.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead. I
understand you've got something you have to give. You have to get some rich people donating money, or somebody has to donate money.
But there's other stations that have lots of employees. We have very few employees at KPFT. It looks to me like you're basically sacrificing KPFT because we have employment at will. You can fire anybody you want. You can mortgage the building. And then, meanwhile, I mean, this is this day and age. There's people with a damn microphone and a couple hundred dollars worth of equipment putting on shows on their cell phone and our little video camera that are as good as 95% of the station stuff that's going out on Pacifica, and yet we've got stations with 30 employees with Cadillac benefits. Mm-hmm. All the sacrifices being made for this station. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why you would do that as someone who lives here in Houston. That's my comment.
Well, I don't want KPFT to be sacrificed. I don't want any station to be sacrificed. And I don't think we will be sacrificing any station. I don't think anybody wants to sacrifice any station. But there's going to be some pain involved somewhere.
Casey.
I'm kind of new here, and I want to put things in perspective to understand like how this shock is being used to make decisions. So can you tell us historically like how this debt compares to the debt Pacifica has faced in the past? And what actions in the past have been taken to face that debt compared to what actions are being considered now?
I don't know if we've ever had this much debt. I mean, I wasn't involved with the board like before 2000 or 2002 or something like that. I don't think they had anything like this amount of debt. This has been accumulating because of deficits over about 10 years. And, you know, part of the problem is with our budgeting, and it's not so much here, it's mostly at other stations where, you know, we have a budget that looks balanced, but the revenue is actually over-projected, over-optimistic. And I do hope we get the KPFT budget tonight, too. And then, you know, the manager's job is to make sure that if you don't come up with a revenue estimate, you need to cut expenses. You can't just keep spending at what's in the budget level listed on expenses if you don't have the revenue, because you still need to come out even, at least at the end. But frequently, that hasn't happened in the past. And so you run deficits. You know, sometimes things happen. You know, you have a flood or a hurricane and stuff like that. Things like that did happen. WBI was flooded out by Hurricane Sandy back about 4 or 5 years ago. The building was flooded there for over a month. They had to move. It was a really big ordeal.
Bill, the 10 minutes is up. Okay. I am going to take us past Roman numeral 5 minutes approval. And postpone that until our next meeting because the members of this body were not given copies of it in advance. Oh, right there. And I am going to take us to...
Mr. Chair, I object to skipping
the approval. They're right here.
They were not emailed to the body in advance of this meeting, and we don't have time.
Go home and do it.
To read them and review them, I want to take us to Rome.
Did Joseph submit those minutes? Yeah.
They were all sent to Deb for editing and revision, and we haven't seen those until tonight. Yeah. Until tonight.
Yeah. How can Deb edit minutes that she wasn't present here for?
The body gave her that authority. Yeah. I did not at last week's at last month's meeting.
Mm-hmm. She's the secretary.
So, I am taking us to Roman numeral 8, new business. P.K. McCary, will you please give us the report? You have 10 minutes to report on the investigative committee and motion. P.K.
I gave a copy to everyone of the motion that was put forth to investigate Bill Crozier, and I would like to
say at
the
top.
Huh? Okay, it's in blue. It's on a blue sheet of paper, so it wouldn't get confused. I would like to read you the report and the reasons for going to trial. The LSB voted in favor of an investigative committee to convene in order to review the allegations concerning Bill Crozier, hear testimony, and decide on whether or not there was enough evidence to recommend a trial. After two investigative hearings, the investigative committee did their due diligence and voted unanimously for a trial based on testimony and evidence that was brought forth concerning the actions of Bill Crozier. The allegations against Bill Crozier are serious, and the LSB has the right to hear and address those allegations. Bill Crozier also has the right to defend himself. But the LSB needs to vote on whether or not they would like to hear this testimony and review the evidence for themselves.